The Panthers.
Yeah.
Are there cracks beginning to show? The message you sent me on Sunday, call the cops, we've been robbed. It did seem to me that every 50-50 seemed to go the way of the Warriors.
You're either a Broncos supporter or you're not, and if you support one of the other three Queensland teams, you're starting to have that hatred towards the Broncos.
Well, Steve, are you going to have to erase the red pen that you put through the Broncos season, mate? We'll look at that. What else have we got?
Mate, we talk about Penrith and some of the last few weeks, their results, and also talk about the Knights after a couple of tight losses, where that puts them for the back end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm going to double down on Damien Cook's comments. The Dragons were robbed. Mate, I don't know how you sat through that game. Unbelievable. Let's get into it. Let's start with the Bronx. Now, they were up for the fight. Physical, niggly. Where's this been?
Yeah. Yeah, it was exactly, that's exactly the question. I know they're at, you know, close enough to full strength. It's probably been one of the best teams they've put on the park all season. And poor old Madge has gone to great pains to tell us just to hang in there. You know, everyone's coming back, all hands on deck sort of thing. And yeah, you could certainly see the way they played. There was no question full force of the Broncos was put out to show. You know, they were quite impressive. And Reece Walsh, you know, welcome to the 2026 season. It's taken, you know, probably 17, 18 weeks of the year, but what a performance by Walsh at the back. He was playing two or three positions, truth be told, and the more he got the ball and the more he got involved, the better he looked. So, look, they were very impressive, Hawk.
Mate, they were, and it did have shades of the back end of last year, and, like I said, they just look filthy on the world, chip on their shoulder. They were causing frustration to the Panthers. I just think they're going to run out of time. Like, I love it, and I could see them going on a run. But we saw with the Panthers last year, once they sort of hit those finals, they petered out a bit, and I think they've got an even tougher run even just to make the eight.
Yeah, I'm with you, Hawk. I still have the red pen out for the Broncos, unfortunately, for their fans. I think, to your point, it's just all too late. They've got to win six, probably seven, of their run home, and then to double down on that, their for and against is minus 124. So that's really going to hurt them. That's almost an extra 2 points. And their run home, Cowboys, Knights, Dolphins, the Warriors, Raiders, Storm, Dogs, that is very tough. Now, obviously, a few of those teams are on their way up again, and then a few of the teams are struggling again. Obviously, the Storm with a few injuries. So they're certainly winnable games, but to your point, for them to win all of those on the back of Penrith last week and then hit the semi-finals, that is going to be one mental burden and one hangover. I just can't see them getting up for week in, week out. So I certainly think they're going to cause some havoc on the way in, and they're going to win, you know, their fair share and probably go bloody close to pulling it off. But I just think they've just left it just too late, and that mountain's going to be so hard for them to climb, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're still going to be the hunted as the reigning premiers. Interesting to see Todd Payton's quote at the press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
They wanted to ask Tom Dearden about his thoughts in his old club, and Payton's jumped straight in and said, oh, everyone hates the Broncos, and that'll be red rag to a bull for Madge, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100% it would be. I've sort of seen that more so since the Dolphins have come in, where you're either a Broncos supporter or you're not, and if you support one of the other three Queensland teams, you're starting to have that hatred towards the Broncos, for use of a pretty strong term. And that's growing more and more. Obviously, we saw the Dolphins play the Cowboys this weekend, and there'll be another Queensland derby this coming week, and that's just growing in momentum, which is really, really good for rugby league here in southeast Queensland. It's always obviously been a stronghold, but to have these four clubs in it, it means so much, especially for the dollars coming into the till. So it's growing, and I think it's going to continue to grow. I think the younger demographic is certainly heading towards the Dolphins, the younger fan base heading towards the Dolphins and the Titans up here, and then all of North Queensland are just completely and utterly in love with the Cowboys. So I think the Broncos have got a little bit up against them. They're certainly still by far and away the most supported club in the entire NRL, let alone up here in Brisbane. But I think they're going to continue to build that that hatred towards the Broncos, the Dolphins and the Titans especially. So it could be fun for many years to come.
Yeah, a bit of tribalism. I remember hearing Wayne Bennett talk about, you know, the we just don't get State of Origin. And then when he came down, he understood why, because we're tribal around our teams first and Origin second, although some may argue that, but that's because that's what we've been brought up on. Whereas Queensland first, club second. I wonder if this, obviously it's not going to change Queensland first, but it might shift a bit of the dynamic, and it might be interesting to see how that goes. So, yeah, it is great to hear. It's only going to be better for the competition as a whole to have four competitive Queensland teams, as much as us Blue Bloods may not enjoy seeing. But, yeah, great for the game.
Yeah, I will say, if they do happen to pull off a miracle, and I'm not saying they're going to, I still think they're going to miss, but if they do, I'd hate to come up against them week one of the semi-finals, because they'll have their backups and they'll certainly be coming off the back fence ready to rock and roll. So, look, it'll be certainly good for rugby league over the next sort of month and a half to see the Broncos keep winning a few, but just left a little bit too late for mine.
Yeah, did you make some outlandish comment or bet if Brisbane made the eight, you said you would do something? Or
I'm sure I did. I did call them a month ago that they weren't going to make it, but I'm not silly enough to put my money on the line, mate.
I might have to dig out the tape and find out exactly what you did say. I think you're going to be pretty safe, mate. I think you'll be safe. Now, the team that they beat on, what was that, Thursday night, Friday night?
Thursday night.
The Panthers.
Yeah.
Are there cracks beginning to show?
This is a real interesting one. I spent a little bit of time on the back of our stat man, Will, coming up with some of the information. On the back of Origin, we mentioned Mitch Kenny's injury, which I don't think's really been given enough media focus. But everything seems to have happened around that round 12 bye they had. You know, they had that really massive game against the Warriors in round 13. And Will's telling us that that's the time of the season where the referees have started to pull back a little bit on the six agains. And from there, it's been a different season for the Panthers. They're 3-3. Since that time, and two of the games that they won, they only beat the Warriors by a couple of points, and they beat South convincingly, but South were well down on troops for that time. So I'm not sure whether it's a case of, you know, the Origin, and they did have a big contingent over Origin, the Mitch Kenny situation, or whether they're not as you know, now that game's being changed a little bit by the referees and it's going back to how it was last year, if the Panthers aren't favoured as heavily as what they are. So, got to really, you know, with respect to your boys, they play Parramatta this week, but then they go into the Raiders, the Warriors, the Roosters and the Storm. Now, the Raiders have certainly turned things around. The Warriors will be up for it deluxe on that round 23 game. The Roosters are all over a top four spot. And by then, the Storm will have their some of their injured players back. So they've got a fairly tough run after this Penrith game. That next month, the footy's really going to be telling. But they've come back now to only 2 points ahead of the Warriors and the Roosters, and they just don't seem to be as sharp. So if it is an Origin hangover, they need to give a few of these players some rests and see if they can get back to some of their best footy, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we've mentioned this a couple of times now, but the game's gone back to what it was last year, and it's no coincidence to see the rise of the teams that were doing well last year. The Raiders are on a roll. The Dogs looked very good the other night. Melbourne are climbing the ladder again. Panthers coming off the pace a bit. Dragons rising. Yes, they're a new coach, but they played well in those conditions last year. Para, while they haven't been winning a heap, have been defending so much better, so they're coming back into the contest. It does seem like it's... Oh, and the Tigers slipping away as well. So Sharks popping back up. Like, there's plenty to be said that this whole rule change thing at the start has completely changed the dynamic of the competition. And probably it's most teams have seen a shift.
Yeah, mate, yeah, 100%. It goes more than just the Panthers, and everything you mentioned there has had an impact on each of those teams. To the stage where we brought it up earlier in the year, to me, it's just had a little bit of a affected the integrity of the competition to start the season. And then for them to change, again, around that round 12, 13, which we now find out was roughly around the contract signing of the TV agreements, It's just really disappointing that it has had such a big impact. What would have the ladder looked like if they had played under these rules the entire time? And then, you know, it's sort of like you get treated like a little bit of a fool, that then now they start peeling it back to how it should have been and how it was last year, with not a peep out of headquarters about any of it. So it was almost like, oh, it didn't exist, carry on sort of thing. So very disappointing, mate. I hope the best team in the end wins. But the longer this goes, if Penrith don't start to show a little bit more, show a little bit more toughness in defence like we saw 3 or 4 years ago with the Panthers, for mine, the competition could be very wide open the next 2 or 3 weeks if they don't get a run on. I think the Warriors, Roosters, even the Sharks have shown what they can do over the last month of footy. This may not be a foregone conclusion. The Panthers might be up against it if they don't show us some footy in the next month.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it staggers me to think that was the rumour at the time, that that's why they made this play with the rules. But who were they trying to impress? Like, I think I did at one point reach out to a mate in the ratings and it suggested that numbers were up. So it's almost like we sacrifice the integrity of the competition for the numbers, and that's never a good thing when we're talking about integrity of competition. Yeah, interesting. Well, I also think with the Panthers, they can afford to have taken the foot off the pedal. We've talked a number of times about teams having a pretty brutal run in, almost like a second pre-season. Maybe they're going through a bit of that. It could be a whole lot of different things, but it will be very interesting because they certainly have come back to the pack, not just in terms of how they're playing, but on the table as well. So hold your bets on those Panthers tickets. A team that seems to be continuing, though, on the up and up, despite the fact of this change, is the Knights. And really, is it unfair to say that they probably should have got the job done if Kalen had his kicking boots on?
Yeah, you're right, mate. You know, the last 2 weeks, they went down to South, come home like an absolute train, and just couldn't run South down. South were up. There was a Dry Arrows big event for him, and they got out to the absolute races out of the blocks. And the Knights did everything they possibly could, but just could not run them down no matter what they did. Just left a little bit too late. And, you know, similar story this week. They were, in my mind, good enough to beat Cronulla. And Cronulla's playing some bloody good football. They scored more tries than the Sharkies. And to your point, Ponga couldn't kick a goal. So while the Knights, you know, have gone down in two hard losses, you know, the Sharks have been on a really good roll, and South can have their time when they get off the bus and they're switched on. So for Knights fans, I think 11 wins already, they're an absolute lock for the semi-finals. I can't see that changing. In fact, I think the top six now are an absolute guarantee to make the semi-final. So I don't think that'll be a problem for them. It'll just be in what state they get to the semi. So this next, you know, similar to Penrith, this next week, or sorry, this next month of footy is going to be really important. So they've got the Roosters, the Broncos and the Raiders. And the Raiders is down in Canberra. So that's going to be a really tough 3 weeks. And then they've got a couple of easier games with the Titans and Manly. So it'd be interesting to see how they fare during these 3 weeks of footy, because if they go and win, you know, they go and lose 5 close games on the back of the last 2, then it's sure they've made the semis, but I think it's sort of drifted off. But if they can pinch a couple of those games, go in looking really, really, you know, confident and ready to go, they're going to be hard to beat at home in a semi-final, mate.
Yeah. I think we said this last week, but that second week of the semi-final, I mean, the first week's going to be mouth-watering, the second week even more so when you look at whoever doesn't win those first two qualifying finals, and then they come up against whoever wins out of that bottom eight. Yeah, mouthwatering. It's interesting that we talked about what a logjam it was. Well, there is a little bit of daylight now between 8th and the rest. Mm-hmm. So South and the Cows hanging on at 24. Manly have fallen off a cliff, 22. Doggy suddenly in the picture at 22. Melbourne and the Raiders probably too much to ask. And then, you know, Bronx and West Tigers, well, there's hopes there, but you think that they're done. Considering that those two teams are equal on para, who no one considers a chance of making the eight, it's, it's almost like we're getting to that point, and in a couple of weeks we might even have a top eight finalised, unless some of these other teams can string a few wins together consistently.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I thought, you know, we did our predictions only last week, and it's amazing how much in rugby league changes in a week or two. Well, I had the Storm coming home like a freight train, but losing Munster, it's just hurt them. And while Harry Grant did everything he possibly could on the weekend, it just wasn't enough. So, mate, I've got the top six locked. I can't see. They're already all on 11 wins, and both the Dolphins and the Knights have still got a buy up their sleeve. So I can't see them not making it. And then the Cowboys have one of the best runs home. They only leave Queensland once for the rest of the year, and they've still got games against the Titans, Para. They've got a bye, and then they've got the Tigers. So you would think three very comfortable games there for them, you know, with the Broncos, Roosters and Raiders being the other three. So I like the top six, and the Cowboys for mine are a lock, and then it'll just be whether South can hang on. They've got a couple of easy games, a couple of hard games, South. So for mine, seven of the eight spots are done. It'll just be whether South can hold on.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there. Just before we jump ahead, you talked about the draw, and you talked about two easier games for the Knights, potentially the Titans and Manly. Now, while I agree, both teams showed yesterday that they can just score points at will, and you wouldn't want to give them a sniff, either of those teams, because I think Jake Duke talking about the commentary yesterday, and he talked about what a shootout it was, and mate, it was like a game from the start of the season. It was bizarre.
Yeah, 100%. That was a very entertaining game. I saw Josh Henne, they cut to him in the sheds after the game, and while obviously they got the win, he was pretty dirty, because that was, you know, the way they defended isn't something that he would have been happy with. Obviously, the 2 points was huge for them, and All Black guarantees them not avoiding the wooden spoon. But you can tell that while, you know, it was a win and they attacked well, that he's got, you know, higher expectations than that for defence. And I think that was the story with Manly as well. Obviously, Turbo going down is just devastating for them, rugby league in general. He'd started that game on fire, so anything could have happened as that played out. But, yeah, look, certainly there isn't any easy game, right? We're spoken about the Titans and the Dragons, the Eels. They're all out there busting a gut at the moment, doing everything they possibly can to get the 2 points. So when I say easier, I mean on the ladder. Anything could happen on any game at the moment.
Yeah. Just a thought now when you're talking about poor old Tommy. Also, tragic news for Hudson Young with the Achilles injury and the other person
Will
Warbrick gutted because that's his career, well, for the foreseeable future, his career at the Storm done. Some pretty emotional scenes there. Just these guys put their heart and soul into these seasons. It just must be heartbreak to go out like that.
Yeah, devastating, mate. You saw Will Warbrick go off on the Medicab, and almost all of the Storm players come over and you know, shook his hand, gave him a cuddle. You could just feel, you know, he was in tears. You could just feel how much it meant to the team. They all knew that that was going to be it, and they probably would never see him in a Storm jersey again. So he's been a really, really impressive player over the years for the Storm, and will do a huge job for the Warriors next year. But, just devastating. Hudson Young was obviously going to make the Australian side in some form for the World Cup. You would have thought Will Warbrick would have done similar for the Kiwis. Mm. So there's more than just you know, the end of the NRL season for those young men. It must be so devastating for them. And then poor old Turbo, I heard that was his 9th hamstring injury. Like that, you know, you can't even put words to it. Just devastating for him. So there's a slight word going around that the hamstring might be okay if they make the semi-finals, which is obviously going to, you know, be a large task for them without him. But he might be back, but certainly for Young and Warbrick, that'll be their 2026 seasons.
Tragic. Just on Manly, some really good moments from Joey Walsh, but it was almost like back to Seabold days yesterday at times where they ran it like they passed just like sideline to sideline and then just exposed themselves and got bundled into touch or ended up with a knock on because they were trying to push a pass. It was very uncharacteristic considering what we've seen since Foran's been there. Just quickly, we'll talk about Hudson Young. I heard Ricky Stewart when he was interviewed afterwards and he said, "Oh, I think he's probably not fully sunk in the ramifications because, like you said, a kangaroo team." And the rest of the season, and probably for an Achilles injury, is going to eat into a fair chunk of their pre-season for next year too. So shattering. Oh, and just like what we're talking about, Hudson Young, and he had such a great Origin series. There's been a little bit of talk around Sammy Walker coming right off the ball. Some players go to Origin, even if they started the year badly, and then really take off. I listened to Nathan Omarsh talking on the weekend, and he said he'd come back feeling like, you know, he was 10 foot tall because he'd played in that arena, so he felt no matter how the series went, he just felt like he was so much more confident. And so that generally is the case, but there are some that have a real downturn. It's almost like they get themselves so up emotionally for the series, and it's emotional for us as fans. You can't imagine what it's like for those guys. And then there's a bit of a come down, and whether it's that, whether it's the contract talk, whether it's both, or he's got a niggle or something, he's certainly not at his best. Even his goal kicking, which at the start of the year he could not miss, everything's just come off the boil a bit.
Yeah, you're spot on, mate. You know, and you look at Reece Walsh as another example for that. He's only had the game, but he, by far and away the best game of the season against Penrith in the rain after Origin. So you're right. You know, poor old Hudson Young, he played every minute of all three Origins. He would have been absolutely flying, 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and then that's happened to him. So, yeah, nasty. Look, as far as Walker goes, I would not have come out any other way than 100% positive after the Origin series he had, and he certainly got some, you know, experienced campaigners at the Roosters. Obviously, Teddy as a classic example where he's been through it all. He's won, he's lost, he's had to get back up for Roosters seasons, and they've got the coaching staff that you know, is very close to the best in the comp. So they'll get around him, and he'll be all right with that. It just must take such a burden on them. Just probably more to your point, Paul, mentally and emotionally more than physically. But I think the Roosters have got a big end of the season in front of them. So hopefully he can freshen himself up and have another crack, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other guy that looks like he's still playing well, but of his uncharacteristic errors, Max Plath, the last couple of weeks, he's just looked a bit frustrated at the world. And remember, he had that moment at the back of Origin 3 when he was offside, a couple of moments he'd like to have again, and it feels like that's what's unfolding for him just watching the Dolphins play at the moment. So let's hope that he gets back to that form as well. It must be a big shock to the system for young blokes playing their first series, and it's no surprise that it's taken a bit of a toll. Now, I'm happy to go hard on this if you're reluctant to seem too biased, but the message you sent me on Sunday, call the cops, we've been robbed. It did seem to me that every 50-50 seemed to go the way of the Warriors, and as always, we understand from the Warriors fans that they seem to have copped it plenty over the years, so we're going to grant you that. That doesn't take away from what the Dragons seem to cop on Sunday. Is that how you saw it too, mate, through your one red eye and one white eye?
I did. My eyes were a little bit blurry. I'd had plenty of beer. I was out watching Gags play. He made his comeback for the Devs on Saturday, so I had had a couple of beers before I got to kick off in the Dragons game. But yeah, look, I'm sure the Warriors fans all abuse us. They do that better than any other fan base in the listeners in the comp. So I don't think they can argue, though, that the referee, everything went the Warriors' way. So regardless of what's happened in games gone by, you could see Damien Cook's frustration and hear it in his voice at the press conference, and any fair dinkum rugby league fan would have felt for him. You know, the Dragons gave everything they could. The Warriors were very good. You know, they're still, in my mind, the best forward pack in the competition. And they did everything they could to win the game. But, yeah, the bounce of the ball, the referee's decisions. And, look, it wasn't just that game. There were a couple of decisions over the weekend that were just mind-boggling. You know, there was one in the Manly game. Jason Saab got deemed to be standing on the sideline, and he was nowhere near it. And the touch judge right there. There's a few other, you know, video ref calls. I don't understand how a video ref can get a decision wrong when that's his job. It's in slow-mo. He's got all the angles. So, yeah, I certainly don't want to cry poor for the Dragons. The Warriors won the game at the end of the day, but if you just feel for them. You genuinely do. And the poor old Dragons right now would feel like no matter what they do, they just can't get that win. You know, there's been a couple of games where they've scored more tries than the opposition and just can't get it. You know, even three penalty goals to the Warriors, deserve it or not, you just don't see that in the game these days. So what I was really impressed and happy with was that young forward pack. You know, we said at the preview show last week around, we're going to New Zealand, they're the best pack in the competition for mine, let's just see how they go up against them. And, you know, in a number of areas, you know, the Dragons pack, you know, probably outplayed them. You know, they made more tackles than them. The Dragons forward pack only missed six tackles the entire game. Against the best in the comp is huge. Like those three middles that they start with at the Warriors, Clark, Harrison and Barnett, they're the best three middles in the competition. So for that young Dragons forward pack down, he missed six tackles, was huge, made 240 tackles. And the Warriors outran them, but only outran them by about 140 metres. So when you consider that young forward pack is doing their best, that's huge. And the good news for me, I think, you know, the Dragons, we don't get that punch out of the backfield. Like you look at that Warriors back line or back four, they get the sets on a roll. So it's a lot easier for a Fisher-Harris to get back behind the ball and take his hit up when DWZ, Tane Tuipiki, et cetera, has made their hit up. And we don't get that at the Dragons. So, you know, Phil Sammy, you know, Val goes to the wing. Hopefully we'll have more punch out of the backfield. But, yeah, refereeing aside, the young Dragons forward pack is something really to be proud of, mate, the way they played. Can't hear you, buddy.
We'll get an edit in there for that one. I've got to say, despite the fact that it did appear one-sided for the Dragons, that referee, young fella, obviously he's only starting his career as well, he had a few glaring errors. So we probably need to give a bit of balance there. But you're spot on with the Dragons coming out of their own end. There was a couple of times where they had really good defensive sets, pinned the Warriors down, or on the other side had really good yardage sets coming out, then they don't kick long because they haven't got anyone with a massive kick, and then the Warriors back five just tore them apart and were in attacking kick range way too often, and not necessarily because the Dragons were awful defensively, but because that, as you mentioned, the punch coming out of their back five is something else. And they've just got so many options there too. They've even got, you know, they've got a couple of guys out, fairly handy players too.
Yeah.
And yet they bring in another couple of youngsters. It's a production line there at the moment. So they've certainly set themselves up for some big things. Now, you've got to say also that the great man, Phil Gould, has had his hands on their pathway system. He was there when Nathan Brown was working in that space over there. So everything he touches, given a bit of time, does seem to turn to gold eventually, maybe when he moves on. So it'll be interesting to see how things pan out for the Bulldogs as well. Now, speaking of youngsters, the Titans youngsters, they're certainly stepping up. Oh, I just love this St. Harrison kid. He just plays with so much confidence. How many first grade games are we talking? Like six or seven? Oliver Pascoe's got a bit of a mongrel in him, and then the other two blokes, Keeney and Campbell, that have been there for a while. It seems to have freed them up as well. My only concern with the Titans is that who are they adding for next year?
Yeah, you're 100% right, mate. That spine, we'll go through the Raiders spine, but outside of the Raiders, that young spine is the most dynamic, young spine going around. The 26, Campbell and Oliver Pascoe. The other two are 20 and 22. Like, they've got a long, long time ahead of them. So, when you've got that side that then you can build around, when you've got that spine in place, it's huge for them. So look, 100% you're right around not having any big names coming in next year, but surely their goal is to try and build around the bones of that spine. Kalise Hess had another huge game. He's only 22, 23 himself. He's another one who's growing. I thought on the back of your comment around Origin, Tino Fasu-Malau is another one who comes to mind. I thought that was damn near his best game for the Titans all year as well. So whether he'd been carrying an injury earlier in the year or not, I'm not sure. But if they could keep that spine together with how young they are, they've all got 10 plus years of NRL in them. They've got class. As you say around Pascoe, he was 42 tackles and then was still electric at a dummy half. And Zane Harrison, he just, it's an old saying, but he just seems like he's got all the time in the world to be able to do whatever he wants with the ball. So for those four young guys to be already together, already building these combinations, if they can lock them in long term and then feed in some players around them, it could be good signs for the Titans, no question for mine.
Yeah, I'm with you on Tino. At one point, he did the big Benji step in the air before he hit the ground. It was magic. I don't know who he thought he was. I was worried something might break. Now, it ended up a pretty lopsided score in the end, but the Cowboys come out to an absolute flyer at the start yesterday. You mentioned those the Queensland Derby, but they're two entertaining sides, and are the Dolphins back?
Well, it's a big one. So, yeah, I think yes. I think the Dolphins, the interesting one with the Dolphins is they had up to six or seven players in Origin that haven't had that before. So a couple of them, obviously, with Plath, with Bostock, hadn't played Origin at all. But as a club, to have seven's a big number. So I think they would have taken probably and will continue to take more time than the rest of the clubs. You look at someone like the Roosters, they've had this contingent in year in, year out. They're sort of used to it. The coaching staff's used to it. The strength and conditioning department's used to it. Where the Dolphins, this is all brand new for them, collectively as one club. So they've got a bye this week, I think, is going to be vital. So to get up and knock the Cowboys over, especially to your point, after the way the Cowboys started, they were up for it. They're 10-0 up after 15 minutes, and they were looking like they were going to go on with it. But the Dolphins just all of a sudden clicked into gear. So obviously Katoa's been a huge loss. They still look a little bit disconnected for mine. Brad Schneider's, while he's trying, he's just not quite, NRL top four halfback at the moment, lead his team to a top four. So, they certainly need Katoa back. But to see what they've done, I think this extra week off with the bye, they'll send them away and get them as much rest as possible. It couldn't have come at a better time for the Finns. So, mate, I think they haven't got too hard a draw in, but there are some tricky games there for them. But I think, they could do some damage. I just think they may have slipped out of contention for the top four. For mine, I think the top four is just about locked in. So they're going to have to do it the hard way, but they've certainly got the points in them to be able to achieve it, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. shout out to their backup halfback from last year, Sean O'Sullivan, who did some really good things for the yep. Dogs on the weekend too. He might just be able to put himself in the shop front window there. I'm not sure the Dogs are hanging on to him next year. Now, speaking of the Dolphins being back, you mentioned Jacob Gagan. He said he had his first game back for the Devs in the Queensland Cup on the weekend. Yes. But was it a good enough performance from the Dolphins to get him back in the power rankings?
No, unfortunately not, mate. So Gags has kept the power rankings as they were last week. So Penrith at 1, Warriors at 2, Roosters 3, Sharkies at 4, and the Knights at 5. So he's on similar track to what we were talking about around the Knights. While they've lost their last two, they've been very close, and with a couple of Origin players out, he hasn't punished them too much. So he's kept them exactly the same as last week.
Okay. Well, I'll be expecting an apology from him when the Dolphins storm back into the power rankings later in the year and the Sharks slide out the back door.
Mate, I have, while we were talking, I've actually looked at the Dolphins' run home, and you're going to have a go at me for saying they're easy games, but they've got a pretty friendly ride home. After the bye, they go Dragons, Broncos, Manly, Para, Roosters, Titans. So, again, don't leave Queensland too often. And to have that run home, you know, the Roosters are the only ones currently in the top eight that they play on the ride home. So it'll be very interesting to see if Gagan's going to issue an apology on the way back, mate. We'll have to get him on the show if that happens.
Absolutely. Let's just look at the Sharks draw. Manly, no gimme. Bunnies, Dragons, given the current state of play, no gimme. Raiders are on the up. Titans, Para, and the Storm. So that's a fair draw. It's not awful, but it's not fantastic. So it'll be very interesting to see how those teams slog it out as we hit the home stretch. A bit of fun. Well, somehow we managed to keep it nice and condensed tonight, mate. We hope to have Will back. He's been unwell, unfortunately. Hope to have Will back next week. Otherwise, we'll see you on the Wednesday show when we preview the next round of Crunch Games.
Looking forward to it, Hawk.
Me too. See you then, mate.